Shalom to all the brethren of faith, to all we who share the eternal hope of life and that more abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad to be speaking to you from the fellowship at Pine Creek Church in the USA, and this is Brother Ryan. And I'm glad to be gathered among those who have received the inheritance of the saints, those saints who dwell in the light of the glorious gospel. And we thank the Lord for the knowing of those members of the body of Christ. As all that we go through, even the suffering of loss, know this, that there's a purpose and a will behind all that we go through, and it's all to the benefit of the faithful when we endure. And I know the race sometimes it seems so long, and the battle is so hard. Yet it all works out in the end for good if we love the Lord and hear the calling of His purpose. And that's the reason for our experience, in order to hear the call from heaven and see that it all works out for good, whatever fight it is that we endure. So for these devotionals this week, I'd like to share the hope of this title, Greatness in Faith. And back in April of this year, I spoke under that title, in order to witness of the works of righteousness that are done from our brothers and sisters of old. So I'd just like to pick up on that theme once again. So we'll number these few words as part six of Greatness in Faith. And from the spiritual examples, we see the eternal value of patience, honesty, humbleness, indeed all of the blessed fruits of the Spirit that are contained within Galatians chapter 5. So we'll take the course of patience and faithfulness, and then see it played out in the life of those who helped so much to establish our pathway, even these many centuries later in our own time. And as it was a battle for them in their day, so it is now. But God knows this fact, that it's the battles that make soldiers, and there are no victories, nothing to overcome, without battles. So we fight to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, but it's a good fight as it builds up the house of our spirit. And certainly Jesus himself, as he learned obedience by those things he suffered, that he allowed, that he experienced, he's our chief example for what stays true to the promise that is achieved by the Word of God, as the end result of his faithfulness was life itself, by the power of the third day and of resurrection, thank the Lord. His battle was to stay obedient to the destiny of the cross. And it took great patience of determination to do so, but life was the result of it, and we live thereby. And the hardness of the conflict, it wasn't one of the use of the physical sword of iron, for as the master said to the Roman overseer there, Pontius Pilate, in the judgment hall, Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto you. But my kingdom's of a different sort. It doesn't dwell here. It doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, or in towers built of stone. It's not from hence, or from here. My kingdom is not political, it's spiritual. My sword is one of faith expressed, which is mightier than the forged blades of Rome or any other weapon that's formed against it that cannot prosper. My sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And now's our time to avail ourselves of that sword of the Spirit that wins the battle. And this is the time we have, and we don't have another time in this body to stand for the eternal wisdom that God is. This is our moment. And whatever timeline we are on as to the stages of prophecy, whatever that is, whatever moment of fulfillment we're in right now, this is the time that God has given us to stand up for Jesus and the glory of His name. And just at this particular time in my own life, I'm 64 years of age. I'm fast approaching the 70 by reason of strength of Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. And I've always found that to be curious, because Psalms 90, that's a prayer song of Moses. He himself lived to be the age of 120. But of course, it's for the benefit of everyone who reads the scripture, to put in general terms, to make all people consider their lifespan and thus think on things that are higher and holier. But in my case, even if I was to live to be 100 years old, if I lived to be that old, that'd mean 64% of my life in this world's behind me. There's only so much time to be on the victory side until our journey's complete. My personal destiny, that could be around any corner. My soul might be required of me this day. But while I can, I praise His holy name. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the saints that we worship with and all those who have come before us. And I have a saying that I like to use, which is, I like to think I do more good than harm, which is said with a smile. It's understated. Because, of course, if we stand upon the rock of ages, then we will do good. We'll do good, certainly, for the word cannot fail or fall short of its promise. And there's a peace within that that passes understanding of this world, within that knowledge. So for a scriptural basis on the persistence of patience, let's look at Psalms chapter 71. I want to start at verse 16 and read onward from there. As there's a will behind every sacred line of scripture, and it's always vital to our soul to seek it out. As the exercise of the spirit within is to follow the call unto me, and I will answer thee principle that was given to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. The seek and ye shall find precept that Jesus spoke of. And the seeking process is just as vital as the finding, for of course the one leads to the other. And here in Psalm 71, we read from the 16th verse, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And the praise just continues on in the soul, in the outpouring of the Spirit. And there's the greatness of faith contained therein, in all these scriptures. The whole work of the Bible contains greatness. And the words of the Lord bring those greatness moments forth. As Jesus once asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? Well, the scripture we read here in Psalm 71 promises, thou shalt increase my greatness. So these are the words of a mindset that lead to Christ, as all of scripture takes you to the cross, to Golgotha, to one moment of sacrifice, and then to that blessed moment of resurrection power. The strength is always in the words, for as Peter once said to Jesus, as you'll recall, the Lord of salvation, in his disappointment, remember he had asked, will you leave me also, because so many had left? If they leave Jesus, there will be those that leave his ministers too. But Peter declared, where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That was greatness. That was greatness of faith. And there's a saying that's common here that talk is cheap. Well, in this world of sin, talk indeed is cheap. Anyone can say whatever they will, but in the Lord, speech that centers on the spoken word of life is the most valuable thing that there is. Words saved your life when you first confessed the name of Jesus. Words created the condition for life to exist when God said, let there be light. Words that expressed faith brought healing when a certain Roman centurion said, speak the word only. written words brought victory in the day of temptation when Jesus said, "It is written." And blessings flow from the revelation that John received while in prison for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, when the apostle revelator said, "Blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy." It's these words, they are spirit and they are life. And everything we know about truth and about love comes by the way of the gift of these blessed words. So through all the longing of the Psalms, even though fears dismay, hope of faith, it rises above it all by confession. For as the Psalm says, "I will make mention of thy righteousness." And here it comes out in that song, and that is the way to approach the Almighty God. From the book of 1 Samuel, and I want to read from verse 2, this will be Hannah's prayer in Psalms chapter 2. We just thank the Lord that he will quicken us, make us alive again. Make me feel the hope of life renewed within. Increase my greatness. Not in any vainglorious type of way. God's no respecter of persons when it comes to the lying vanities of this world. But you'll restore me in a greater way than ever before. You will comfort me in the sorrowful day. You'll be my rock to stand upon. And for a life example of those verses in 1 Samuel chapter 2 from the first verse, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Well, thank the Lord. Remember what it was that Jesus said to his disciples when they rejoiced in the fact that even the spirits of devils were subject unto them? That power was very real, and Jesus acknowledged it by saying, "I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven." He rejoiced with them. But he rejoiced in this also, that you have a name written in heaven. And he said, rather rejoice in that. So Hannah, mother to Samuel the prophet, because of her prayer and greatness of faith, received of her petition, and like as Jesus would say many years later to his disciples, she did the same. She rejoiced in her salvation. She rejoiced in a name written in heaven. She rejoiced in a promise performed. And her power was exalted, of course, only in the Lord. And thus she, Hannah, got blessed beyond the scope of even what she asked for. As not only was she blessed with the child, but that child became a prophet who would guide Israel through the early days of the monarchy and the waning days of the period of the judges, onto the anointing of David to be king over Israel. And plus, of course, as we read it here, her name and prayer are written, became part of Scripture as a memorial to her faithfulness forever. And she also said this in 1 Samuel, same chapter, chapter 2, from verse 6. "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." Now that is greatness, this prayer. That's greatness in faith. The great potter at the wheel of Jeremiah 18, he will indeed lift up the humbled spirit and set them upon high. And we all have a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life as a memorial of our own faithfulness. And what is it but that fact which makes us great? Only in the Lord do we have any holiness, and that not of our own selves, not of our making, not of our origin, but it all comes from above. And Hannah was persistent, patient, prayerful, and above all faithful. And she knew long before this world of science could peer into God's creation that the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. and the pillars and foundations of all things, both natural and spiritual, belong to the Almighty God and God alone. And true greatness comes by such prayers and testimonies, for which we praise the name above all names, the name of Jesus our Lord. And may such greatness live within the hearts of us all, in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you, everyone.